Well, amen, amen, amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I want to say that I appreciate our choir this morning. And everybody is geared up and lined up, ready to go. And I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. Say it's good to see each and every one of you on this lovely Lord's Day. And I hope you've come to honor and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what the Word says in John chapter, or in the book of John. He says that those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And so that's what our goal is to just uplift the Lord and through song and through in just a few moments, a sermon, we pray that God would use His Word in those two ways to minister unto you this morning. And again, it's good to be here, and I hope everybody's had a good week this past week. Got a few announcements I'd like to make, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen this morning. Let's remember in prayer Brother Larry Bennett's cousin, Allen, and got word that they have sent him home. Not really a whole lot they can do for him that they haven't already done. He has been suffering from a severe arm infection, and it really has taken a toll upon his body and different things along those lines. And there's some other things in that equation as well. So just remember him when you pray. Let's also remember little Braden's grandmother's family. His grandmother passed away, went home to be with the Lord. And we wanted to mention that this morning to just pray for that family as they're going to need strength in days ahead. It's never easy, to say the very least. It is never easy to say goodbye to a loved one. The difference is between a saved person and a lost person is we know it's not farewell. We know it's not goodbye. It's we'll meet you in the morning, according to the time and eternity. But for the lost person, it's to not have that assurance left behind where your loved one's at. It's a very, very, very terrible thing. So pray for that family when you pray. We have other prayer requests that are mentioned in our bulletin on the prayer wall. Let's continue to remember Miss Catherine Plemons' mother as she continues to take care of her. We got several people that are sick and recovering. Let's remember Barbara Ann, and there was a good possibility that she was going to be here this morning, but she's doing well, and she is recovering strength, so let's pray for her. Again, there's several others that stand in need of prayer, others taking chemo. Let's continue to remember Miss Shirley Townsend that's with us and hers, and then Miss Rebecca. Let's remember her cancer treatments when you pray, and Rebecca Ashworth. And so let's just be mindful of one another and all the prayer requests and all of the lives of our church members and families and friends that are going through times of heaviness. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Peter and Anita. Is that Denise? All right. Missionaries to the Philippines. And it is wonderful to have you with us this morning. And you two, along with our other guest, we're very honored for you to be here. So make yourself at home and worship the Lord with us. And maybe if we have a few moments at the end of the service, we'll have you come and share a few words with us. Let me say this, and then we'll give it back to Brother Allen. Our youth returned safely from their trip up north. Man, they did some driving. Thank you, Miss Jackie, for your faithfulness. Behind that bus, they took off last Sunday afternoon and parked it for a while in Virginia, I believe, and woke up the next morning. What was that? Kentucky. Went all the way to Kentucky, and man, they just had a blast. I'll let them, in fact, in a few moments before I preach, a few of them is going to come around and share their experience. So we'll hear it then. But they went to the ark and they went paddleboarding in a cave, and they just had a great time. They served at the Lord's Cafe. That's another wonderful blessing you'll hear about. So we'll save that for them in a few moments. And again, we're here. Let's relax and worship the Lord. I do believe He has something to say this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's worship. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm thankful for the good crowd we have this morning, Lord. And Father, they've come to hear from You. I pray, Lord, that You would touch the music, touch Brother Allen as he leads the music. Lord, let our spirits be revitalized and energized. And Lord, when it comes preaching time, Lord, You know, Lord, that I stand in need of You, of a touch. Lord, You have a word, a certain word this morning that I am totally sure of that Your people needs to hear, Lord. I pray, Father, that You would quicken me and use me for Your honor and glory this morning, Lord. Father, we'll praise You for it. And I do pray for those who come during the invitation time. We pray for people to come during the invitation time to do business with You, Lord. And as they come, let their lives be changed. We love You. We thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? What we want to do this morning is give you an opportunity to go to about a dozen people and tell them that it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Let's take a time of fellowship. The choir is going to sing that old hymn of the faith, Oh Happy Day. You join with us. Clap your hands. Enjoy a little time in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray for us as we sing. Tell somebody it's good to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, happy day. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was. Brother James, can I borrow your oxygen, brother? So good to see you in the house of the Lord. Do we have anyone that's visiting with us for the very first time this morning? If not, then you've visited with us before, and we thank you for being here today. If you have, and you just don't want us to know it, we understand that as well. We're a crazy bunch around here this morning. But it is so good to have you in the house of the Lord today. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. What a beautiful day the Lord's made for us, and we thank you for being here at Calvary this morning. On behalf of the Claytons and the Martins, we want to tell you that we missed last Sunday morning. We apologize for not being able to be here, but we do have an addition to our family. There you have it. I wouldn't be a pawpaw if I didn't bring a picture with me, would I? Little Hudson Brooks Clayton came in last Monday morning at about 6:49 a.m., 7 pounds, 7 ounces is his fighting weight, 19 and a half inches long, and we just praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. Unfortunately, his mother Regina is back in the hospital. They had to take her back in yesterday morning. She's having some difficulties with blood pressure issues still. So if you would please be much in prayer for her. And Jordan's taking care of both her children alone. And pray for them as well. But we do appreciate your prayers. And again, apologize for not being able to be here. I was kind of in and out. Amanda was there trying to help with everything last Sunday morning. But we do appreciate your prayers. And we thank the Lord for his goodness and his love and his mercy. And that makes me a pawpaw of 12. And ever who said it was cheaper by the dozen, that's a lie. But we are thankful, and praise the Lord for his goodness. But it is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I know we have very, very many prayer requests. But I want to ask you, as a pastor said, to please remember Braden and Ryder's grandmother's passing in prayer. Family, please lift them up in prayer. It's a very difficult time. It's very difficult, especially when there are grandchildren that you're trying to explain that situation to. So please remember Lauren and Alan and the family in prayer, and I just ask God to be with them. We thought that we might have Miss Barbara Ann with us this morning, but she was unable to be here with us this morning, but we're praying that she'll be back with us very soon. And again, please remember all the other prayer requests, and we have a lot to try and cover this morning. So we're going to go ahead and ask the Lord to be with us in the service today and ask God's blessing on the offering. 6 o'clock tonight, choir, meet me here at 5:30. Wednesday night, of course, is Bible study and prayer meeting at 7. And just make the morning service a matter of prayer. Pray for Pastor. And we are glad to have our youth back and those that went with them and helped with them. Jack thinks he's Mr. Zipline. I don't know how many of y'all saw that. Yeah. I'm sure we'll never hear the end of that. But anyway, we are thankful for a safe trip, and everybody was safe and sound. We thank the Lord for that. Father, we love you. And Lord, this morning we are reminded that this week we will celebrate our independence as a nation. Lord, I am so thankful this morning that because of the happy day when I was set free from my sins, that I can celebrate the freedom that I have this morning in Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that. So excited, Lord, for my salvation today. Lord, if there's ever been a time, Lord, that we need to lean on you and we need to realize what we have in you, it is today in this world that we live. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have in America. Lord, the freedom that we have to be able to come to a church and be able to worship you and in freedom and truth and spirit, and the liberty that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would ever lift up those that lead our nation in prayer. Lord, we do that this morning and ask you that you would please be with them as they guide our nation. Lord, I pray that you would be with our pastor this morning. Lord, as he guides our church. And Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would touch him, speak through him, Lord, from your word, the Lord, this, as he has spent time in prayer and in study of your word to be able to bring it to us today. Lord, I pray that you would speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you would touch the offering now, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, thank you for the way that you supply the needs here financially at Calvary. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's not accepted you as their Savior, Lord, may this be the day, Lord, that they would come to realize that. And Lord, they would be able to leave this day and be able to say that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And most of all, that it's so good to be born into the family of God. Lord, that would be our prayer. Lord, maybe someone just be brought a little closer to you today, Lord, would be our prayer. But Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, and we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished now in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention. Salute the flag and say, I love this flag. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. All across this country, in big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. God bless America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice.
Good morning. I survived. We made it. I'm telling you, it was an awesome trip, y'all. We're going to have the guys to come up here in just a few minutes and stand up. I want y'all to see them all. I am so proud of them. I'm so proud to get to be a part of them. We get to be the bus driver. We get to do the, you know, whatever needs to be done. And it's such a blessing that we get to be with these children. If you haven't experienced one of these trips, you got to go. What they do is great, but being with them is even greater. They're very polite to people. I just brag on them all the time of how they handle themselves when we're out. They show that they're Christian young men and women, and very proud of them, y'all. And I would like to have them all to come down here right now with Miss Darlene that went on the trip. Y'all come on. Don't be embarrassed. Y'all, we got to go to Noah's Ark. That was the first thing. When we pulled up, I was telling the kids, watch what you see. And when we turned in, you could see the ark. We was pretty good ways from it, but it stuck up above everything. And the kids said, is that the actual size? And we said, yeah, it is. They made it exactly like Noah built it. And we tried to tell these young men and women that, you know, what you see, God gave Noah this understanding of how to make everything work on that ark, how to build that ark, what he did in calling the animals. Not Noah, but God called those animals. And they understood that there was dinosaurs on that ark. And people said, William, that's awful big. You have to go see it. And then the other things that we did, it was fabulous. We went in the Mammoth Cave, and Jackie wanted to see how cold the water was, so she jumped in with the help from one of our guys. When we were starting to do that, on the paddle boarding, if somebody was fixing to hit you, they'd say, brace, and you're supposed to put your paddle on your board and brace yourself. You know, don't lock your knees at all. Well, when Jackie got hit, then the guy said, brace. So she was in the water. The only thing I hate about it is I didn't have a camera. It was so funny because I was behind her. 40-degree water. Yeah, she got out pretty quick. But, y'all, the experience, what they learned, the teachings that went on with Brian Busby and Miss Darlene. And they even let Jackie and I take one Sunday or one morning and get to, you know, teach a little bit or say something that we wanted to say. But if you can, take this experience with these guys. You'll love it. You'll be blessed. Now I'm going to turn it over to Miss Darlene.
This really was an incredible week. I've been planning youth trips since 2003, and I'm telling you, Wednesday was a day dreams are made of. I'm telling you, we've never changed a trip as much on the fly as we did this one. We thought we had the trip laid out, and there were some surprises along the way. Monday night, after we spent the day at the Ark, we realized that we were very, very close to Ohio. And since you're just a few minutes from Ohio, why not? So we drove over into Ohio Monday night, and I was trying to tell Brian, I said, well, maybe we can just drive over the river, because when you cross the bridge from Newport, Kentucky, which was the next little town that we were next to where we were, then you're in Cincinnati. And I said, maybe we can find an ice cream shop or something. And Brian goes, well, that's kind of ironic that you said that. He said, because before we left, somebody gave Melita money and said, buy those kids an ice cream. So we ended up in Cincinnati, right down from the Cincinnati Reds ball stadium, at an ice cream shop. So that was added into our trip. And then we spent the day at the Ark Monday. We spent the day at the Creation Museum Tuesday. We drove a good bit over the beautiful state of Kentucky. We were in North Kentucky. We were in South Kentucky. We were a little bit east of 75, and we were west of 75. We spent Wednesday doing the activities, and we added some stuff into there. We actually took the sky lift up to the top of Natural Bridge State Park. We weren't actually in Mammoth Cave, Brother Jack. If we go back to Kentucky, we will hit Mammoth Cave on that one. But I, one of the outfitter guides from a totally different company, I said, well, if we were to come back, what's some other things we might do? And he said, well, I'm going to tell you the top three things, according to most outdoor people, for Kentucky, is to do the Red River Gorge Zip Line, do Mammoth Cave, and do Cumberland Falls. We did number one, we saw number three, and we were in a cave. It wasn't Mammoth, but it was big enough for our first time. So it was a pretty cool trip. But Thursday, we actually went and served at a meal shelter. It's not a homeless shelter, it's a meal shelter called the Lord's Cafe. And this is a ministry that a church in that community provides, where on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they just open up and provide lunch to the community for free. And the only thing is you come in and you're going to get prayed for. And so our kids, I don't know if he got, got some pictures up. But our kids serve. Some of our kids took orders. There's some pictures, if they get shown, of a couple of our kids actually bowed their heads and said prayers for these people. They were mopping. They were sweeping. They were washing dishes. They worked. They served. And so this was a learning trip. Jackie said when I was talking to her one day about the trip, she said they're going to be learning, they're going to be serving, and they're going to be having some fun. And that's exactly what we did. But I'm very proud of them, and it's hard for our kids to get up and speak, some of our younger ones. If you look up here, we've got a lot of younger kids that went on this trip. We don't have the Connors, the Nicks, the older ones. And so a lot of these kids were kind of uncomfortable to speak, but I do have a few that are going to come. When we were in the Ark, as we'd been in there for just a little while walking around, and Alana looked at me and she said, "It's just so powerful in here. It just feels so powerful." These kids were touched. These kids, Preston made the comment. He goes, "I've had some questions answered. Really had some questions answered being here." And so we do have a few. I'm going to ask Lily and Jackson and Robert and Kevin if they'll come up on the platform, and they're going to just share just a brief little moment about how maybe something that God spoke to their heart about this trip. But we do want to thank our church for praying for us. We do want to thank our church for supporting us, and thank you for your kind words, Brother Jack. And we did, yes, the zip line. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. We did it.
I am thankful for getting to go to Kentucky for the youth trip. I'm also thankful for getting to serve others at the Lord's Cafe.
There she is with Ruth. Great job.
On this trip, I learned that sin could ruin things. If you think about it, in the Garden of Eden, we would have been sinless, but we weren't because we sinned.
On this trip, I have learned that how blessed this church and this youth group really is. From the experience at the Lord Cafe, when I saw that, I don't know if any of them were homeless, but they were very, very poor, and they just came and just wanted to eat food. And it really touched me to see that how blessed this youth group really is, and I learned that I need to get right on track with God, and that really God needs us as much as we need him, because if he didn't need us, there would be no point in the life, and there would no be way for us to go to heaven. And if he didn't need us, we would not be able to fulfill his works.
You know, there's one good thing about being the oldest, and if you have jurisdiction over the younger ones, I was like, I'm not going first. No. But as most of you know, obviously, we went to Kentucky, and we served at the Lord's Cafe. And I had the opportunity to work as a busboy, which basically all I did was walk around, wipe tables, clean up the trash, and sweep. So they gave me a lot of time to look around and observe the people around me. And I saw one family in specific. It had a mom, a dad, and a little boy. And the little boy was eating his food. And he had some beans left. And he looked at his dad and said, "Daddy, I don't like beans. I don't want to eat the beans." And the dad said, "But you're going to be hungry later." So I had to walk around to clean up the rest of the tables and go back to the kitchen to clean up. And when I came back, his plate was empty. So I told myself that I wasn't going to eat of the free lunch that they were giving us. And I wasn't going to take a break. Because who am I to sit in the same place as he is sitting and take from the food that he's eating when I've heard the same phrase, "But you're going to be hungry later." And I know what that's like. I understand that. Who am I to sit and be distracted by my food and sit in the same place as a mom when I've seen my mom struggle before? Who am I to be distracted by my own hunger to sit in the same place as a dad would sit when I've seen my dad struggle before? Who are we as a church to be distracted? Who are we as a church to be distracted by fear? To let that fear overtake the fact that we should love each other equally and love everyone the same. Who am I as a person to take my own well-being and my own caring over the fact that we should love each other the same? That was the one question I got from this trip, is who am I to be distracted? Thank you.
I just want to say Brian would be here today, but Brian is actually preaching in Bowdoin this morning. He's preaching, and he is not able to be here. Brian and Melita and Julie, of course, were with us on the trip. And this week, the main focus of the messages that Brian felt led to for us to teach was on the obedience of Noah, the obedience of Noah. And because of one man in the spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the evil and wickedness in the world, well, that one man stayed true to God and obedient to God, and his family was blessed. And all of us have family. All of us have dear, close friends. All of us have people that can be affected and blessed if we stay obedient to God and do what God calls us to do. And that's the lesson that we heard this week. These kids, I mean, there was families, and one of the ladies told me, she said, I can't even let my kids walk barefooted outside because there's so many needles everywhere from the drug use in the community. And just the people that we got to sit with and talk with and pray with, it was just very convicting and very humbling. And Kevin summed that up very well. With Robert, I don't know that the Lord needs us. I think more he desires us. He desires to have that relationship and that attention and time with us. So I do thank each and every one of these kids that were willing to speak. I thank each and every one of you that were willing to pray for us, because it was an amazing trip. And when we go on those trips, there's some challenges. There are some challenges that we face. I mean, just we're humans, and there's going to be challenges and issues. But I would say it because he's not here. I would say it if he was. But Brian does a great job leading that group. And having to make decisions on the fly and trying to, when we have to make choices and change things around. We're very, very blessed to have Brian leading our group.
Children's Church at this time. From my heart to the leaders and those that went, my wife's heart, mine, we appreciate y'all taking great care of Lily. This was our first time of letting her go that great of a distance without us, especially Cincinnati, Ohio. Man, I don't think I've ever been to Kentucky. but thank you. Thank you. From our hearts to yours, she had a blast, and she wanted to stay, of course, and continue the fun. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter number 17. This is going to be our launching pad for the message this morning, and we appreciate those who gave testimony, and you can feel the passion from them and their experiences. And passion begets passion. And so when you see somebody passionate and you see somebody that has been touched by God, it only touches you, makes you want to touch others. So appreciate the good words. Acts chapter number 17, let's bow for prayer, and then I'm going to read one verse, that is verse number 28. Just after we pray. Father God, we come one more time in Jesus' name. And Lord, what a very great service it's been thus far this morning. The testimonies, just the music, Lord, with a message that has caused our spirits, Lord, to be lifted. And we feel good. We feel energized. But Father, it's time for the Word of God, and we pray that you'd quicken us, touch me mentally, physically, emotionally. Lord, let me not say anything that doesn't need to be said, but let me say only the things that you want to be said. Father, we'll praise you for what you do. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you personally, I pray that you would become personal to them. Let them know exactly what they need to do as far as accepting you as Lord. Maybe there's one here that is following from afar that needs to be closer to the cross. We pray that they would enter in, Lord, to that area this morning, being close to the cross. And just for the Christian that needs to be encouraged, we pray this message is exactly what they need. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Acts, chapter number 17. Notice, if you would, verse number 28. Paul says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." One verse this morning. Of course, this is Paul writing. And he talks about how that in Jesus, in Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being. A few Sundays ago, we spoke about the subject of understanding God, or understanding God's presence in our life. Just a few Sunday mornings ago, understanding God's presence in our life. In that message, we used the verse out of Hebrews 13 that God would never leave us, God will never forsake us. So we talked about God in relation to us and His presence. And we know that God is for us. We know that God is with us. We know that God is in us. And we need to understand that as believers, that if God be for us, who can be against us? When Mary was told about the birth of Christ in her, God was going to use her. His name would be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. We need to understand that through every trial, through every mile, through every up and every down, that God is with us. God is for us. But at the same time, God is in us, those of us that are saved. He says so in the book of John that He'll send the Comforter and He will be in us and guide us into all truth. A few Sundays ago, we spoke about understanding God's presence in our life. But this morning, I want to do the reversal of that. I want to talk to you for a few moments on understanding our position in Christ. It's equally important that we understand God's presence in our life, and it is equally important to understand our position in Christ. I want to say this morning that understanding our position in the Lord is key. It is total understanding our position in the Lord is key for spiritual progression and not regression. Listen to this verse. Just listen to it. In Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, "In whom," speaking of Jesus, "in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Speaking about our relationship with Christ, that there are some things, there are some treasures to be found in Jesus. And they're hid, meaning that there's a part on our behalf that has to go and find those things. And you're here this morning and maybe you're in a dilemma or you're in a great struggle of the flesh. And listen, your answer is in Jesus. But you got to go after Him. You have got to find your answer in the pages of God's Word. And when you find it, it's a treasure to you. Because it has put light, shed light. It has solved your dilemma in life. It has given you wisdom. It's given you knowledge in the situation. That's Colossians 2:3. But then 2 Peter 1:3 says this: "According as His divine power," Jesus, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him," Jesus, "that hath called us to glory in virtue." It is equally important to understand our position in Christ this morning. We understand God's presence in our life, in relation. But now let's look a little bit into our life concerning Jesus in position. What is it that we need to know? How can we be helped in the fact that if we know our position, how can that help us? How can that change my dilemma this morning? How can it further me along in my Christian life if I better understand my relationship with the Lord? Well, it can in various ways. We've already looked at that there's treasures in Him. We looked at all things concerning life and godliness are in Him. And so there's this relationship between those that know Jesus and Him Himself, and we have to understand some things that we have in our position as His child. Number one, here in Acts chapter number 17, in verse number 28, I want you to notice that we are consistent in Him. We're talking about our position in Jesus, talking about our standing in Christ. Well, first of all, we see that we are consistent in Him. Look what He says in verse 28 again. He says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." I want to say that we are consistent in Him. But this consistency in Him that we're looking at is a universal consistency. It's a collective consistency. You see, first of all, the person that doesn't even know Christ this morning, that's sitting at home and thinks that he or she doesn't need the Lord, needs to understand something about Jesus. Though they do not know Him personally, it is Jesus who's keeping them alive. The Bible says, "For in Him we live." We live. Paul is addressing the folks there on Mars Hill, those who have made the image and they found the altar with the inscription to the unknown God, those that didn't even know God, Paul said. He said, "Listen, for in Him we live." So this first point, when it comes to we are consistent in Him, it's a collective, universal consistency. The lost person is alive because of Jesus this morning. The saved person is alive because of Jesus. He says, "For in Him we live and move." Not only the Lord universally is making sure that all things consist this morning. The planet is spinning. We can't see it spin or feel it spin, but it is. That's because the Lord is allowing it to spin like a basketball, just like that. The contents within the world, the Lord is allowing the four seasons to continue. He's allowing the rain to come. And He says when it's drought time. These are all things. The people in the world the Lord allows to consist and move and live. We have all men universally living because of Jesus. We have all men universally moving because of Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, maybe we don't feel good, but we go on anyway, it's because of Jesus. He allows us to go on anyway. And for the lost person that doesn't know Christ personally and has no assurance of heaven in their heart when they die, guess what, lost person? Because of Jesus, you can even punch a clock on Monday. Because of Jesus, you can punch a clock on Tuesday. And listen, this is a universal consistency. We are consistent in Him. Look back, if you would, in verse number 26. And Paul is addressing those on Mars Hill and there in Athens. And he says this in verse number 26. And this is the absolute truth, as anything Paul says. He says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And Paul basically says that there is a unity here between all of us in the world. We all come from Adam, one man. The Bible says because of that one man, sin was deposited upon all flesh. Because of his disobedience, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But we know the second Adam, the last Adam, is known as the last Adam, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ who came to, if sin came in the first Adam, then grace came in the second Adam. He came and bestowed his grace. But we all come from one man in verse 26. One man hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. People live where they live on the globe and in the world because it was before appointed by Jesus. He's the one that planned it. He's the one that positioned it. For me to say this morning that there is people that's living in hemispheres and locations where they shouldn't be living is for me to say that God's not in control. But God's in control, and he is. Paul is using this unity, using this universalism, if I can say it that way, to prove a point. And he talks about that we all come from one man, one blood. But look in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So he says we all come from one man. And then in verse number 27, he says that we're to seek the Lord. He says that we're to feel after the Lord and we're to find the Lord, that he's not far from us. And that dumps us into verse 28. Because he says those things, verse 26, we all come from one man. Verse 27, we're to seek, feel, and find the Lord. And the thought continues and dumps us in verse 28. For he says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. What does that mean? That just simply means that the previous verse, verse 27, about seeking the Lord and feeling after him, though he be not far from every one of us. He says this, that the Lord is not hard to find. He says, for in him we live, and we see the Lord every day in the fact that we're living. We move, and so all of creation and all man, they're fully aware that there is a higher power. There is this ability that's causing me to wake up and move, and then to have our being. That means to continue on. And so he's saying this morning that, I'm trying to say this morning in these verses, that we have a consistency in him, a universal consistency. It's easy to find the Lord in our living. It's easy to find the Lord in our moving, in our being, because it's the Lord that allows us to consist. So this morning we see that in verse number 28. We see that we are consistent in him. And it's a universal, collective consistency in Christ. The lost continue on because of Christ. The saved continue on because of Christ. But there's a second thing I want to mention. And the second thing I want to mention, not only we are consistent in him, but we are complete in him. Turn to Colossians chapter number 2, if you would. Now, this only applies to those who are born again. This only applies to those who are saved and who have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. What do we need to understand, Brother Justin, when it comes to our position in Christ? Well, we need to understand as believers, as those that are saved, that we are complete. We're complete this morning. Look in Colossians 2 and verse number 9, then 10. He says, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Explain that a little more. Okay, I will. In verse number 9, there's special emphasis on him, Jesus. And the Bible says, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's stop there for a moment. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We know that God the Father, in his position, he has all power. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He's all power. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at all times beholding everything. God the Father has all power. He is everywhere and He knows everything. And then when it comes to God the Holy Ghost, He is our comforter. He guides and He leads and He energizes. And then, of course, God the Son, the God-man who came to purchase our salvation and all the works that He did, the sinless life that He lived, the victorious resurrection. And then one day is going to be our calling away unto Him. So He says, for in Him, Jesus, all of these things, all of the positions, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all of their positions individually binded up in Jesus. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Stop there again. Now we're continuing to talk about Christ. We're talking about understanding our position in Christ. It's Christ that saved us. Now we are His children, and He is our Father. He is the mediator. Look in verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. If Jesus possesses every individual office of the Trinity in Jesus, all power, all knowledge, He's everywhere at the same time. He's comforter, He's sustainer, He's energizer. He brings all things to your remembrance. And the Bible says that we are complete in Him. That simply means that Jesus is lacking nothing. He is fully in possession of all the attributes that God the Father has, God the Holy Spirit has, all deposited in Jesus. He is in full possession. And because He's in full possession, because Jesus is fully loaded, guess what? We're fully loaded. He says in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. We have everything we need in Jesus. He comforts, He shelters, He energizes, He brings things to our scriptures, to our remembrance. And we can trust God in His providence. We can trust God in His ultimate plan. And He's everywhere at the same time. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Guess what? We can trust Jesus because Jesus possesses that. He sees what's down the road. He gives insights now. He leads. He guides. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him. Another word for the word complete here means furnished. It means furnished. If you know the Lord this morning and you've come to Him in salvation and accepted Him into your heart, you are completely furnished. You're completely furnished for the trip. Let me say this about being complete in Him. This is not an exhortation to perfection. This is not something that we try to do to achieve. So this is not an exhortation or exhortation to perfection, but it is an affirmation of it. We're not trying to be complete in Him. We are complete in Him. I think sometimes in our struggles, we try too hard. Stay with me. We try too hard. I'm trying to quit this addiction, and I'm trying, and I'm trying, and I'm trying, and then over here, I don't know what God's doing in my life. Listen, these are all things we experience. I don't know what God's doing in my life. I'm trying to quit this, and every day I go right back to it. Listen, we're complete in Him. We have power to overcome that addiction. There's that trust factor there. There's that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, given to us by the Holy Ghost, that we know we're loved and we know we're cared for. Why would God mislead us? Listen, sometimes it's difficult knowing God's will for our life. Sometimes it's hard. And listen, but I am of the persuasion more now than ever that it's us that makes it difficult. It's us that makes it hard. It's in our addictions, and we try, and setback and heartache. Listen this morning. One thing we all need to understand, starting here and going out this way to you, about our relationship, our position in Jesus, is that we're complete in Him. We have all we need. If we fail, if we stumble, I forgot who it was the other day I was talking to. We were talking about the Christian life, and I said, listen, no matter what happens to me in my life, if the bottom falls out and I make bad choices, at the end of the day, I know better. I know better. And they said, yeah, I know better too. I've been raised right, is what he said. And listen, truly this morning, we are thoroughly furnished. We are complete in Him. Look at the rest of that verse. Which is the head of all principality and power. What does that mean? The principality and power she's talking about are the principalities and powers. And he's talking about rulers of darkness here. He's talking about in the unseen world, but also in the visible world. Those in rank, those in position, those who have authority, those in the White House, those in a courthouse even, those in the community. Jesus is the head of all principality. They may think they have power, but it's given to them by Jesus. He's the head. And then when it comes to spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities and powers and spiritual warfare and the discouragement that overshadows you and the depression that gets you, all of those things come from the devil and his footmen. Guess what? Jesus has power over them. He's the head of them. He mentions here that he is the head of all principality and power of the world. But if you go back in Colossians chapter number 1, he says this in verse number 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. So not only is he the head of all principalities and powers in this evil world, but he is the head of the church, the body of Christ. Jesus is the main attraction this morning. He's the head, and he's the one that we're in relationship with if we're saved. We are positioned in Jesus. And I said all of that to say this, that in verse number 10, for ye are complete in him. I don't know about you, but that liberated me this week. I'm complete in him. I don't have to try like I always have tried. Man, this thing, I'll get it one day. Oh man. Listen, if I never get it, I've been raised right by Jesus. Grace has taught me how to overcome. Listen, failure has been a teacher. The scriptures are a schoolmaster and God's laws. Listen, if I never am an overcomer in areas of my life, I know better. But I have the ability to overcome. You have the ability to overcome. We all know better this morning. We are complete in Him. We are fully furnished in Him. He's the head of the world. He's the head of the church. He has all power. He quickens us. He comforts us. Man. There is no reason that any of us should be in defeat this morning. But we are. We are. Because we're human and we falter and we fail. But this morning it must be known. We must understand if we're going to have victory in our life that we are complete in Him. My word to you is this. Give up and let God. Give up trying so hard. Let God take the reins. Lean on Him and trust Him for what He can do. We are complete in Him. We are, number one, completely forgiven. Look in Colossians, we're in chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. You sinned and fell short, guess what? All your trespasses are forgiven. That's part of being complete in him, is that we have a complete salvation. We are completely forgiven. Past, present, and future sins all gone in God's sea of forgetfulness. One day we're going to be raptured out of here and we're going to be in a perfect place where there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow. Listen, all because we are complete in Him. We have a complete forgiveness. It says we're forgiven for all of our trespasses. But then we are completely forgiven, but we also are completely restored. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 2. Now, God the Father and man, their relationship was severed from the garden. Ephesians 2, verse 13. We heard about it just a moment ago from Jackson. Man's relationship from God was severed in the garden. I mean, it was cut off. There needed to be a mediator. There needed to be someone who would grab a hold of sinful man along with the firm handhold of God the Father, mediator. Who will bridge the gap? Who will do it? Who will stand in the gap? Who will bridge the gap to make this thing restored? Jesus. Jesus did. We see all kinds of foreshadows in the Old Testament. We know that God made them coats of skins. Adam and Eve covered them. But blood was needed. Blood had to be shed. The innocent had to be killed. Coats of skins were taken and covered Adam and Eve. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, giving His life's blood and covering us with the robes of righteousness. You can follow that all the way through to our verses this morning. And if you look in Ephesians 2, verse 13, speaking of this mediator, but now, right now, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, listen, before salvation, we were far away from God, did not know God, didn't have the blessings of God, was going to spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen, we are children of the King. We've been made nigh by this mediator. Look at verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Before you got saved, there was something in front of you. There was something in front of me. There was something separating me between me and God. It was my sinfulness. It was my unrighteousness. But because of what Jesus did and how He came, how He came and deposited it. He didn't have to do it. It was what love called for. He came and He deposited Himself. 100% God, 100% man in the virgin womb of Mary. He came and He came to adulthood and He understood His purpose, and then He went on to fulfill His Father's purpose. And on the cross of Calvary, He said this: when it was all done, it is finished. He wasn't tired and said, thank God it's finished. He didn't need a break, but He said salvation's plan is finished. His job was done. He came, He bled, He died, He broke down that middle wall of partition. And now this morning, all of us that are saved can go right into the throne room of God. And we can have a relationship with God the Father. Listen, what did I say about Him? He has all power, He's all knowing, He's everywhere at the same time. We can have the power we need to overcome. Go into His presence. There is no middle wall of partition. There is no veil separating us and God the Father. Back in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, we know that innermost place, the holies of holies, we know the priest would go in there and apply the blood to the mercy seat. And then there would be what they call the Shekinah glory of God. God would hover in a thick cloud. And they know that the sins collectively as a nation of Israel was rolled back one more year. And listen, there is no veil requirement this morning. We don't need no Catholic priest this morning. We don't need no man of stature or virtue this morning. All we need is Jesus this morning. And if you're saved, bought with His blood, there is no wall of partition. It's been devoured and broken down. What I'm saying is this. We're complete in Him. We are completely restored. Meaning, you're in a jam this morning. You know Jesus. You got direct access to the throne room to handle your situation. We're here to help one another. We're here to bear burdens, and we're here to talk and counsel with the ability that we have. But when you go home at night and lay your head on your pillow and you say you know Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You can talk to Him. You can confide in Him. You have been completely restored. There is nothing separating you from the love of God. Jesus is the reason. But then let me mention this. Not only we are completely forgiven, we are completely restored, but we are completely equipped. We're complete in Him, church. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We read the verse a moment ago. We'll read it again, but in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We're completely equipped. We're completely restored. We're completely forgiven. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him. Something we need to understand about our position in Christ. We're complete in Him. We are consistent in Him. But then, lastly, we are concealed in Him. Look in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13. We are concealed in Him. Ephesians 1:13. Look what He says. Actually, let's back up to verse number 11. I do it every time. In whom, Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom, talking about being our position in Him, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. We're concealed in Him. Look in verse 13, the word sealed here. The word sealed means exactly what it says. It means sealed, but it also means sealed, concealed. It means given. It means preserved. It also means signet, the stamp of a signet. What He's saying is the Holy Spirit is a stamp. It is a seal. We have the Holy Spirit. He's sealed in us. But it's a promissory seal. Look what He says again in verse 13. In whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit's job and mentioning of His name means several things in God's Word. We know He'll guide us into all truth and He'll comfort us. But the Holy Spirit that was given to us is a seal or a sign or a promise. It's a promise of an inheritance hereafter. Look in verse 14. Look at the word earnest. We'll pull this together. Speaking about the Holy Spirit being given to us, sealed in us, that stamp or pledge to us, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of our bodies. The word earnest here, love it. Means purchase money. Means purchase money. Now, the Holy Spirit is given to everybody who accepts Jesus as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit is given to guide, to convict, correct, keep us on the straight and narrow, to comfort. But also, it's a promise that He's not all that we're getting. We have a whole other part of an inheritance in heaven. The Holy Spirit was just purchase money. We just closed on a house and been living there for about a month and a half. And there was earnest money that was required before we went any further in the deal. You know what that earnest money says? I'm serious and I promise we're getting this house. And here is earnest money to prove it. Here is purchase money. And guess what? Another thing about earnest money is it's non-refundable. So the deal about it is simply this. When we gave our money to have the house we have now to prove that we're going to get it, we knew fully and we were fully aware that if we didn't want to go through with it, something happened. We lost that money. If something in the equation changed or somebody changed their mind on either end, we lost it. Guess what? Jesus hadn't changed His mind. The Holy Spirit is a seal. It's a sign. He is the earnest of our inheritance. There's more to come. And by us knowing we have the Holy Spirit within us, it's a promise that that is just part of our inheritance. He is our earnest. He is our purchase money. When Jesus saved you and He saved me, He gave the Holy Ghost. And He said, child of mine, keep on, because one day I'm coming back for you. Non-refundable. I do not believe you can lose your salvation. When the Holy Ghost is given to us, He's there to stay. He takes up residence in our heart, and He was given to us to help us, to guide us. But for one day, Jesus is coming back and to rapture us out of here, and it's all because of the earnest of our inheritance, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So, we need to understand that. Our position in Christ is that this isn't all there is, folks. Look, if you would, for a moment. 1 Peter, let's see. Where am I at here? All right, 1 Peter. Somewhere around in there. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, saved us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 4. Now this is the rest of our inheritance. This is what we're going to receive in heaven. The Holy Spirit is just in part a promise. He's coming back. Non-refundable. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We need to understand that. We need to understand that this isn't it. This is not where life ends as a believer. We're concealed in Him. Holy Spirit's given. He is our earnest. He is the stamp of approval. Jesus is coming back, and when we go to be with Him, we will receive our inheritance in full. The things in heaven are incorruptible. The things in heaven are undefiled. The things in heaven fade not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let us be not so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Help us be not that way. Help us understand, Lord, that there is an inheritance for God's people. The Holy Spirit is a promise of that. He says in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept this morning by the power of God. It's not God, it's not us that saved us. It's God that saved us and given unto us the Holy Spirit. He's the one who keeps us. So this morning, just tried to be an encouragement along the fact that we need to understand our position in Christ. Number one, we're consistent in Him, universally consistent. God enables everyone, but then we're complete in Him. Those that are saved are complete in Jesus. We have a complete forgiveness, a complete restoration. We're completely restored, and then we are concealed in Him. Meaning the Holy Spirit is just earnest money, non-refundable. He's coming. These are just some things that we need to understand this morning about our position. And I believe that this will affect us in our progression as believers or regression. Where are you at this morning in your walk with God? Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We're grateful. We love you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, and thankful for who you are and for what you do, what you've done, Lord. I pray that you would speak to hearts in the next few moments. If somebody doesn't know you, let them come to know you. Whatever it is that needs to be done, you do so in Jesus' name. As we sang, if you need to come and pray, at this time you come. All stand. All stand.